Good morning, everyone. Our scripture reading is from Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Malachi writes in a very interesting way. He uses the voice and the thoughts of God in his imagination, and he asks questions and responds. It's God speaking to the nation of Israel. A son honors his father, and slaves honor their master. If I'm a father, where is the honor due me? If I'm a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, priests, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Then I love this. Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty. I think the key word at Christmas time is given. And we're going to talk about that in just a couple of minutes. We're delighted to have you with us. Let's just take the opportunity to stand up where we are and give each other a Christmas hello or even a hug. Let's go ahead and do that. In the 21st century Christian magazine, there was a wonderful article at our earlier service today. I spent a little bit of time talking about this. The beloved mayor of New York City from 1934 to 1945 had the beautiful, wonderful name of Fiorello LaGuardia. You may not remember Fiorello, but I know you know the name LaGuardia, LaGuardia Airport and so forth. He was a wonderful man. LaGuardia was short in stature, not quite 5 feet tall. But he carried a presence with him that was just available for everyone. He loved the people of New York, and they loved him. And he would often show up unannounced at various events just to be with the people. He didn't like spending time in his office. He was on the streets. He walked with the people. And one evening, he decided to go to a Manhattan night court. And because people saw him come in, the judge said, I'm going to excuse myself. You be the judge tonight. So here was LaGuardia acting as judge. And the story goes that there was an older gentleman who really wasn't that old in age, but life had kind of wore him down, and he wasn't dressed warmly, and it was a bitterly cold night. And the man had been accused of stealing. And LaGuardia asked him, did you steal? And he said, yes, Your Honor, I did. I stole. I stole a loaf of bread because my family was starving. I've tried to find work. I cannot find work. My family was starving. I stole the bread. And LaGuardia said, I'm very sorry for your situation. He said, but the law is the law, and you must be punished. So I fine you $10. Now remember, this is back in the 1930s. I fine you $10. And then LaGuardia took out his wallet, took out a $10 bill, and handed it to the man and said, now you must pay the fine. And the man handed it back to LaGuardia, and LaGuardia said, your fine is paid in full. And then LaGuardia found a discarded hat, took another $10 bill, put it in the hat, and then LaGuardia said this to all the people in the courtroom. And I fine everyone sitting in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a city that would allow a man to have to steal bread in order to feed his family. And before the evening was through, that older gentleman walked out of the courtroom with $47.50 in his pocket to bring home to his family. It's an interesting story for, I think, a number of reasons, especially at Christmas time, it seems to be extra special. But LaGuardia knew he couldn't do everything. But he also knew, because he loved New York, this is not what New York should be like. And I can't solve all the problems, but I can solve this problem. And I'm going to do the very best that I can. And to me, it's the story of Christmas, of being able to give, but looking at a world that it shouldn't be this way. And is there something I can do to make the world a little bit better? I can't solve everything, but each of us can do something in looking forward to the day when everything will be made right. It's this wonderful story. I think one of the great stories at Christmas time is the story of the Magi. We often call them the three wise men. Most scholars believe there weren't three. Because there were three gifts offered, people would think it was three men. Tradition even gives them the names. They probably were not three. These were Zoroastrian priests who studied astrology. And even in their own writings, they knew something special was going to be happening. And they followed, you may remember the story, that moving star that moved. We don't know how long they followed it, but probably for a year, year and a half, maybe even 2 years. They followed the star. And these were priests who kind of worked together. They brought a lot of, we're not sure how much, but a lot probably of gold, incense, and myrrh to come to give to the one. And when the star stopped, they knew where to find this wonderful one who had the prophets had talked about even from the beginning, the one who would begin the redemption of all things. But I don't think that was the greatest gift. I don't think Jesus would have ever thought the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, awesome. I don't think that was their gift. I think their gift was themselves. They gave themselves for 3 years in search of the one who would bring about the redemption of heaven and earth itself. And you and I are still waiting for that final redemption, but there they were, and they got to see the one, even in the form of a baby, who would bring it. I didn't know this poem. Barb shared it with me. Maybe some of you have heard this, written by Christina Rossetti. So what can I give to him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd bring him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd do my part. Yet what can I give him? I know. I give him my heart. And that's the gift that we give to God, but not just that we give our heart, but we make that tangible. It looks like something. For people who are lost and who have no hope and are wandering in the world, it is the foreshadowing of something yet that would be coming. And one of the cool stories also is found in Luke. It's the story of when Joseph and Mary are dedicating the child Jesus to the Lord. They bring him into the temple. And who do they meet but an older man by the name of Simeon? And I love the way Luke writes this. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the redemption of all things. And it says that the Holy Spirit said to him that he would not die until he saw the Lord Messiah. And the Lord Messiah comes in the form of a baby. And Simeon takes the baby and praises God that he's actually holding God in the form of a baby in his arms. Wouldn't you like to have that experience? And also within that story, there's an older woman who lives at the temple. Her name is Anna, and she is a prophetess of God. And it says that she had been waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, the same thing as the consolation. And there she sees him as well. And there they experience this amazing giving of themselves that God had let them see, this wonderful foreshadowing of what will come. Now, somebody might say, okay, well, whatever, but what does that have to do with Malachi? Well, it has everything to do with Malachi. Malachi is a wonderful story about Jerusalem that has been rebuilt. Going back maybe to some of your Sunday school teachings, you may remember that God sent Ezra and God sent Nehemiah to go and rebuild the walls around Jerusalem that had crumbled and to rebuild the temple of God. And all of that had taken place. And here was Jerusalem all set up and ready to go. But what happened was the people who were living there in Israel became bored. They're waiting for this one who would come. And they were getting tired of waiting. When will he come? And many of them, I suppose, thought, you know, this can't be right. I mean, here we are back in that time where people would be saying, we're stuck in the middle of the wilderness. We've got this wall around Jerusalem and we've got this temple, but nobody's coming. We're in the middle of nowhere. And we read Psalm 68, where the Messiah would come, redeem all things, kind of control the world, sitting on the throne. We're out in Podunkville. There's nothing happening here. And we're doing the same thing day in and day out, and nothing. We're just getting tired of waiting. And so what happens is their worship, which is really an expression of themselves, which is true for us, their worship became secondary, maybe even less than that. And in their offering of their sacrifices, offering a perfect lamb, a lamb without defect, they were offering defiled and diseased animals. And God responds to them by saying, really? Really? If you believe, maybe God is saying, if you believe that what the prophets have been prophesying is true, that one day God will come in human form and will walk among us and will show us what God always wanted for the world and society. And when Jesus grew up and they witnessed what he did and how he lived, how he came offering himself to everyone, where Jesus himself was demonstrating that God always wanted a world of justice and inclusion, and the poor and the hungry to be fed and the poor to be taken care of. A world that would be almost a heaven on earth, if you will, by watching Jesus. And if they watched that and it wasn't enough, what more could Jesus have done? And it's the lesson for us today. Are we so tired of waiting to get out of this life, to get zapped up to heaven, to float around in a cloud? I think God is saying, you've misunderstood me. That the reality of living is an expression of God himself, that we are made in his form. And as Jesus lived, making a difference in the world, that's what he's asked of each one of us today. Salvation is eternally important, but it's not so we can escape. It's so we can do what Jesus did, get involved in the world and being the example that he's asked us to be by what LaGuardia would have done, helping one person at a time. I can't do everything, LaGuardia said, but I can do something with this. And it's the call for all of us in the giving of ourselves. What's the best gift any of us can give to God? It's ourselves. And allowing him to keep transforming our hearts. I love theology and I love scriptures and I love spending time in them. But you can memorize all of it and our life not change. It's the effect that we have in allowing Christ's love to flow through us into the world. So let me give you a couple of examples from this amazing book of Malachi. Here were the priests that were being indicted in Malachi chapter 2. I wanted to read verses 5 through 9 of Malachi chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. And in verse 4 before this, he makes mention of the man Levi. And again, Levi was the one who became the father of all priests. And as Malachi is being written and people have this feeling of malaise and boredom and not giving of their best, even the priests were doing this. And so in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, my covenant was with him, Levi, a covenant of life and peace. And I gave them to him this call for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of me. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty, and people seek instruction from his mouth. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law. And so even the priests were getting wrapped up and not giving of themselves. And then even the total of the citizens in town, the population of the town, started living their life with apathy and started saying things about God that weren't even close to being true. So in chapter 3 of Malachi, in verse 13, listen to these words. Israel is speaking arrogantly now about God. So Malachi 3, in verse 13, it says, "You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it." Then verse 16 says, "But then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession." So I conclude all of this today the way Malachi does, in such a cool way. It was really a wake-up call to saying, God is with us. And let's face it, I think all of us experience from time to time what one old saint called it years ago, the dark night of the soul, where you don't really want to be where you're at in your own life spiritually. And man, it's tough to get out of that place. And so you've tried praying, and you've tried reading scripture, and you've done everything you could, and it just seems to be getting worse and not better. So what do we do? And the answer is always the answer. We just give him our heart and say, "You know, God, this is how I'm feeling," as if he didn't know. And you're just honest with him. And it's not long before you feel the presence of God, who comes along and sits beside you. Have you ever had a friend ask you several questions and ask you about this and ask you about that and just sharing, and you realize deep down inside, they already know the answers to the question. What they really want is just a sounding board. And the fact that you've come alongside them and have given them time has made all the difference in the world. Before long, they're feeling better again. It's also true with us. The moments we begin to feel drifting away from God, it's knowing that God is with us even as we drift. He's never left us. He never, ever will. And the promise he made back in Malachi's day is still true for us. Something is coming. See, they lived even before the birth of Christ. We live after the resurrection of Christ, knowing that one day the fulfillment of all things will take place. And Paul, writing to a church that was becoming bored, these words: "I consider that our present sufferings," maybe boredom, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, but will, we will wait for it patiently. That's the key. Am I upset with God's timetable? Or will I just trust that when the time is right, the fulfillment of all things will take place? And it's a wonderful message. Even though Malachi is the last book written in the Old Testament, we're not sure that it's in proper chronological order. Could have been Joel. Maybe it is Malachi. But it's a lesson that closes the Old Testament in a beautiful way. They were almost there. They were almost there to see the birth of Christ, but they didn't make it. But they could wait for it. And I think the lesson for all of us, especially in this next year as we come 2015 and as we go through the scriptures, that maybe we can see scriptures through some fresh eyes with always that insight that one day there is something extra special that will be taking place. But until then, we will be the Fiorello LaGuardia as best we can. Can't change the whole world, but we can do a little bit every single day, foreshadowing what will be on earth. Amen. Thank you.